This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Good morning and welcome to Medicine on Call. Today is an interesting day in Atlanta, and I want to thank my producer, David, for braving the weather and coming in. I feel honored that you would, you know, love me this much to do the show live. So thank you for everything.
Oh, it's my pleasure as always, and we got a couple other things to do, and then we're going to go tuck ourselves in for the duration, I guess. I don't know what I'm afraid tomorrow may be worse, and the worst thing is if we start losing power, and there's just nothing that we can do at that point.
Now, hopefully that won't happen, and you know, I guess they've planned better, much better for this round than they did the last time. So I'm sure everybody's tucked in and safe and stocked up for hopefully a very short time. I think Friday should be warm enough that this should all start melting. Hopefully tomorrow it'll begin, you know?
I hope. Just, you know, again, it comes back to the power. I think we can all take the snow and have enough sense to stay off the streets. But if the power starts going out, then that brings in a whole other ball game, you know?
Well, I think this is a teaching moment. I think last time we had the snowstorm was a teaching moment for people in terms of being prepared. And just, it really just come down to the individual making sure they can get it done. You know, GEMA can't do it. You know, the state and local governments can't get it done. You really have to make sure you and your family take the lead in your safety and in your preparedness. So I hope people have learned about stocking up for food, you know, water, make sure your car is well stocked in case you get stuck in the elements. You know, these are really good lessons and good, I guess, good preparedness, hygiene, if you want to put it that way, because you never know. This is just one thing that could happen, I think.
You know, I've got to throw this in, and you know I'm one of these theorist people and all that kind of stuff. But we have had some, and this isn't that strange, in that we had it back in 2000, 1993. We had the blizzard of 93, and so it's not like this is something totally out of the ordinary. However, with that being said, I've got to add that, Sunday, if people look to the sky, the chemtrails were all over the place. And I'm not saying anything other than I will leave it right there. I don't know. I haven't got the answer. But, for Atlanta to get anywhere from 3 to 7 inches of snow is not a daily occurrence, obviously. So
no.
We'll just leave it at that.
Well, for those of the folks out there who don't know what chemtrails are, you know, the government, and they've already admitted this, actually, that they're seeding the skies with heavy metals in an effort to control the climate, you know, to make sure that that global warming is controlled. But there's consequences to these things. And I've read, you know, not only do the sun, it's not as sunny as it is because you have this haze, but this falls to the earth, especially when there's rain or any precipitation, and it's affecting the heavy metal content in the soil. So that means that what we're eating in terms of vegetables and fruits actually has a very high, a much higher heavy metal content to it, and heavy metals can affect everything that we do, especially our endocrine system. So, you know, when you talk about thyroid disease and problems with depression, things that are kind of becoming epidemic, you really have to think about what's getting into the system, what's getting into us, and that would be something that people should really take a look at, read up on. It's not about conspiracy theory. It's about being informed. And I want to have Dr. Blank on the show. I'm planning to have her on because I really want to discuss with her what's going on psychologically with people. I mean, this is a whole topic of conversation. But what's driving people to really be stubbornly, willfully deceptive? You know, being deceptive is okay, or putting your head in the sand is fine. And anybody who has questions somehow is now the enemy, and just it's a venomous attack on people who question things all of a sudden. I don't think it's by accident, and it seems to be more and more prevalent. And I know the media is all about that. You know, if you have a question, first they mock you, they laugh at you, then they demonize you, call you crazy, and it's to shut people up, I think. But ultimately, you can't have someone think for you. You can't have somebody who decides what right and wrong is, because it's relative to these people. I can't believe I'm seeing people get on TV and say, "I didn't happen. I never said that." I mean, there's a tape of them saying it, you know, hours, basically, and then they'll be called on it, and they'll just deny it, and they never get called on it. I mean, is this something that you're seeing, too, or is it just me?
I don't think it's just you by any stretch. I've never seen anything like it, and in my 67 years, just absolutely incredible. There's no way to describe it, and just blatantly lying. I don't care who's listening. I'm going to lie to you and suck it up and believe it.
I'm telling. I had this conversation with a friend of mine, and I said this before on the show. There's a a pop song by this artist called Shaggy called "It Wasn't Me," and I said they should play that every time anybody in government comes on TV when they start, you know, yakking about things that they never said, never did, when actually there's proof. I mean, they're right there doing it, right there saying it, and it should just pop on, you know, as the background music, so then people can know when they're being, if they can't figure out when they're being lied to, then they would know. It's just incredible.
It is. I mean, it's like, what is it, the Washington Post or Washington, whatever it is, that has the Pinocchio meter?
Uh-huh.
You know, my God, they'd have to have a personal guard to carry around their noses.
It's tragic, honestly. I mean, if we want to look, obviously, we talk about medicine on the show, but this rollout is continuing to be just, it's everything that we said it was going to be. It's just killing patients. It's killing the medical profession. And now they're doing damage control by, you know, paying people and cajoling people, begging celebrities to write, you know, do positive tweets. During the NFL Super Bowl, the White House actually had players, NFL players, give them talking points about healthcare.gov to tweet. I mean, this is unbelievable. If there's anything now that should drive people to step away from the celebrity, you know, mind control table, then this should be it. I mean, ultimately, these guys are telling you that you should willingly, happily go into a system that's going to bankrupt you, going to deny you care, going to decide what your choices are medically, and none of them have to enter it. I want to see Magic Johnson sign up for healthcare.gov. Give up your money, give up your private health insurance, and just, you know, you go into Medicaid and tell us how great it is when you can't get your HIV drugs. It's incredible.
Well, unfortunately, I don't think they will, do you?
No, I don't. This is where it comes down to the hypocrisy. And the people willingly being, not everybody, I think there's a growing number of people who are waking up and smelling the coffee here, but the vocal minority just going down the tubes while they're screaming how fabulous it is and everybody needs to be on it. You know, this is, Dr. Boyer a few weeks ago came on the show and he said something really interesting and I really am starting to take this to heart. There is going to be a two-tier healthcare system. We know that. But ultimately, it's all about choice. If you want to go into that system, then by all means, go for it. But I don't think if you want to do it, that you should be made to do it. This is, if they take the mandate out of this thing, that would be helpful. I mean, I don't know if they're going to repeal it. I certainly don't have any hope or any, I don't put my faith in the fact that the Republicans are going to fight anything. They don't do anything. I mean, the fact that they let this, you know, debt limit go up without a fight should tell people something about the Republican Party. I was shocked, but I not really. Maybe I was just appalled that they didn't put any caveat, any, you know, anything that the Republicans were fighting for in play when they actually have the upper hand in this. It's just crazy.
Well, all we can do is, just like you said about the weather, be prepared.
Well, yes, on every level. And whether or not they change the, you know, unilaterally change parts of Obamacare to make it politically feasible for the Democrats to try to lie to get their way back in, anybody who's worth their salt should figure out that anybody who voted for this should be voted out. Whether or not they delay parts of it or change parts of it to make it sound better, but ultimately the end point is still, we're still driving towards the end point of this thing, which is the destruction of private health insurance, the government takeover of the healthcare system, including the insurance companies. I think people are getting caught up with the insurance companies getting profits or making windfall profits. Yeah, they may be doing that in the short run, but I think in the long run, when the government steps in, and I think that they unfortunately will end up bailing them out, that's when the insurance companies will lose all of their power in this. What little they have and what money they're making is going to be capped, and the government's going to run the show behind the scenes. I think that's what's going to happen.
I don't disagree with you, and I think, you know, if our Congress isn't going to stand up, then the individuals are going to have to.
Yeah, I don't think the Congress is going to stand up. The fact that Boehner is just basically talking Democratic talking points, whether it's immigration, not fighting the raising of the debt ceiling. There's actually a doctor's caucus in there, which I'm shocked because they're useless. But they haven't said anything or brought forth any kind of legislation that would actually protect doctors and patients. I don't know what they're doing. It's a waste. I don't know what they're doing in there except angling to try to get back in. That's everybody's mindset. It's not about running the country. It's not about saving people. It's not about protecting American citizens at this point.
Not at all. Not at all. Let's take a break here, and we'll be back with Medicine on Call and Dr. Elena George live from America's Web Radio. And want to remind everybody, we will be on the air, come hook or crook or some way or the other, with our shows. Many of them will be pre-recorded or archives. But we'll be on the air as long as a tree limb doesn't get us. We'll be back right after this.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that wellness and prevention is the key to living a long and healthy life? For example, common diseases such as acid reflux, high cholesterol, non-insulin-dependent diabetes, and high blood pressure in some cases are caused by poor nutrition. Scientific studies suggest the use of nutritional supplements, a healthy diet, and exercise can control and, in some cases, prevent disease. Use nutritional supplements that are formulated using good manufacturer practice standards. And remember to let your doctor know what you are taking, since it can react with prescription medication. Please join me Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, it seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on AmericasWebRadio.com.
Come on, follow Sniffles to Atlanta's go-to center for breathing easy. Do you suffer from chronic sinus headaches, recurrent sinusitis, facial pain or pressure, and chronic congestion? Well, balloon sinuplasty just could be the cure you're looking for.
Follow me and breathe easy.
FollowSniffles.com. We treat the problem, not the symptom. Chronic sinus symptoms, gone. This could be the cure you're looking for.
follow me and breathe easy.
This proven in-office procedure can have you breathing easy, back to work the next day, and it's done under local anesthesia. Get lasting relief, a quick recovery, and start breathing easy again.
Follow me and breathe easy.
FollowSniffles.com.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
And we're back on Medicine on Call with Dr. Elena George. Dr. George, are you staying warm and comfy in your place?
I am. So far, so good.
Good.
Hopefully, it'll remain that way. I really regret the fact that I can't, that this is going on, because I have a very busy week. So hopefully this will pass quickly and I can get back to work. Yeah, speaking of work, did you see the article about the prisoners getting Medicaid and disability and free prescription drugs while they're in jail? I mean, this is government oversight here. I love that.
You know, yesterday we had Sheriff Joe Arpaio on from Arizona, and you know, he's not a, you know, people paint him as a terrible person and all this, and the abuse that he gives. He says, you know, these people have broken the law. Why should I give them the Ritz-Carlton? And he said, Joe is 81 years old. Doesn't look it, but he is.
No.
And he will go in and stay under the tent or stay in the prison itself with inmates. And he said, you know, if it's not so, if I can survive it, then they can survive it. And I'm not going, they desecrate the flag, they get punished. He said, this is not Guantanamo, this is a prison, and that's what it's going to be about. And I'm all for him.
Well, I think law and order is important. And I, you know, if you commit a crime, you should pay your debt to society. Certainly it needs to be humane, but I don't think that we need to waste taxpayer money, or, you know, with the Social Security system, with Medicare, I'm sorry, with Medicaid, and all of these government entities are supposed to be watching graft and fraud, wasting over $11 million in drug benefits, you know, over $33 million that doctors who've been billing for, you know, treatment for prisoners inappropriately, you know, that's a problem. But if it comes down to an independent physician or a small practice, they're all over them. You know, they can't look left or right without the Medicare or some entity in the government coming after them for HIPAA violations, because it's the lowest hanging fruit. And that's the problem. Another problem I have with this affordable care system is that they talk a lot about waste and abuse, but the only people they're really looking at are the people who are on the front line, most of whom, are trying to do their best to navigate this system. And it's like a puzzle. It's like a maze where, you know, you've got Medicaid clinics writing prescriptions in Florida. You've got all these huge wastes of money that they're not going after. So, I mean, it's a double standard. And Obamacare is going to be worse. Can you only imagine all the people who put their information into healthcare.gov, their Social Security information, their banking debit information, you know, their routing information, their telephone numbers, their addresses, all of these things that it's already been hacked into. They don't even tell us what exactly what's happened to people. We already know it's been hacked. So what about identity theft? What's coming out of the pipe later on as this thing really blossoms and mushrooms and people start getting ripped off? We've already seen people get debited from the insurance companies and, you know, saying that they're covered, but taking more money out than they should, and then people finding out they're not covered after the fact. You know, once you start an automatic draft system, it's really hard to stop it if you want to try to stop it on a dime. So, and you can't put a roadblock on it. I mean, this money's going to come out every month, and you may not even have it go to the right people. You may not be covered. It's a bad system, and there's nothing in place to try to prevent it. you know, they do a lot of lip service to this thing. But there's graft, fraud, waste abuse throughout the whole system. And 9 times out of 10, it's not the provider, I should say the doctor, who's actually the private independent doctor who's doing it. It's very sad. I mean, this is only the tip of the iceberg. The hospitals are now finding that the recovery audit, that's the private contractors who've been hired by the government to claw back money from the hospitals, because they started with the doctors, you know, the independent doctors. Now they're moving on to the hospitals. And the hospitals are having a hard time making payroll. We already covered this. But now it's becoming even worse, because under the Medicaid, Medicare guidelines of admissions, there's 3 levels of admission now. In the past, you were either admitted to the hospital as an inpatient or observation, or you weren't. You know, you were sent home. Now there's so many rules to follow whether a patient fits the criteria for inpatient, observation, ambulatory. And if you don't admit the patient with the right designation, Medicare and Medicaid, especially Medicare, will not pay for the visit. So now you have to hire more people. I mean, this is mind-boggling, the layers of people that have to work within the healthcare system in order to cover your butt. You have to have someone who's there for billing and coding, so that you code the right thing into the system so you can get paid. You need somebody who's going to work on denials, because 9 times out of 10, it gets kicked back. You have to work on somebody. Somebody has to do pre-certifications, which means that somebody gets admitted for a procedure or a test. They actually have to get it approved by the insurance company before it can be done, and or the government. And that means you have to be on hold and stay online and speak to somebody. Hopefully they know what's going on, and give them the history of the patient, have them call you back. In our office, it can take up to 10 or 15 days to get approval to do something, so that you can't do a telescopic examination. You can't send somebody for an X-ray study if they need it right away, because you have to get approval. And they get to decide whether it's an emergency or not now, not you. So in the past, if I said, hey, this person has a catastrophic infection, something like MRSA, and this person needs to go for CT right away, that would be no problem. MRSA is an emergency. It can become life-threatening. It can kill people. That was an automatic. You know, you get the approval right away. Now, the person was actually turned down. They said, there's nothing you could tell us that would make us approve this, because it's not part of the insurance company's approval pathway. We're not doing it. The patient will have to pay for a year. Tough. I've never seen that before. Now the hospitals are in line with that.
Dr. George, I want to commend you for doing this show for so many years and also bringing up these points. I do ask, and we, you know, we've obviously grown an audience and continue to grow, but we're certainly a drop in the bucket compared to mainstream media. Why can we not get this word out to people? You know, even on Fox, I don't see or hear that much about what you're talking about. And yet I know that, you know, it's like the death panels. We got them, we got yep. This situation. Why can we not get somebody to pay attention to us?
You know, it's all about making money, Dave. I mean, I like Fox. You know, compared to MSNBC and CNN, they do give us more information, you know, than those other stations do. They actually talk about expanded topics, which are important. But there's never been an independent physician who is allowed to go on any of these shows and actually tell the truth about what's going on the front line. Right now, it's all about the distraction of the conflict. They make money by doing this. They get an audience. They gin up indignation, frustration, anger, and that's what drives people to keep coming back for the next dose of the adrenaline rush of I'm pissed at something. And ultimately, it's the same fog of distraction that drives the whole media that we're, you know, the mainstream media that we are unfortunately that we're watching. I think people are now voting with their feet. When it gets really crazy and it's the It Wasn't Me set, Hofer CNN and MSNBC, and just, you know, racist 101, sexism 101, 24 hours a day, people get sick of that stuff, so they're leaving it. But ultimately right now, it's all about following the argument, and it's the same argument over and over again. And I don't really, and I talked about this at the beginning of the year, I don't want to just talk about the problem. We all know there's a problem. The problem is Obamacare, the problem is Congress, the problem is us, because we are not holding anybody to the fire. We expect someone else to fight our battles for us. We expect the Republicans, and then we expect the Tea Party to do it. Then we expect that some Democrats will get scared enough that they'll reverse their position because they're going to try to get back in. If we wait for this to play out, I know what the outcome is going to be, because we just have to look at history. It's going to be the status quo. It might be a different face that comes online. You know, the Republicans may win the Senate, perhaps. I hope they do. Maybe we can put more pressure to bear on you. All got in there. There's actually no excuse anymore. Maybe you have to do what we're asking you to do. But I'm not inclined to wait around for that. That's why it's time for us to know what the truth is and stop listening to what pundits are saying who are not doctors. This is my take on the whole thing. The people who get on there really have no idea what they're talking about. They can't. Unless you make a payroll, unless you see patients day in and day out, unless you have to fight with the insurance companies to take care of your patients, unless you have to be there and make sure that you advocate for your patient and see how increasingly hard it's become, you can't speak about health care. You don't have the right to do so, in my opinion. And that's why I'm being a lot more strident about what we can do to work around it, because there's a way to work around it. We've had people on our show for the last 3 or 4 months who've given the listeners options and strategies to work around this. They exist, and they're there, and they're there now. You know, my mantra now is the free market is alive and well and living in this country, and that's how you beat Obamacare. It's not waiting for your congressman to vote in your favor. It's not, I mean, yes, you should call them and you should let them know I'm watching you and I'm voting you out. But it's about us. Everything that we do, every decision that people make means something. And it's now starting to work. I don't know if you heard about the Subway sandwich where they're putting plastic, a plasticized chemical to make the bread softer. But it's the same chemical that they use in yoga mats to make the rubber soft. And so it was like disgusting stuff that they're putting in there. And this one woman, I think she's called the food lady or something, she bought this out in her blog. She got publicized. And lo and behold, Subway is now taking it out of their... No, this is one person getting out there. Yes, it's hard to do, but if you keep doing it, do it commando. Do guerrilla tactics. Tell one person. Put it on your Twitter, your Facebook. Start talking to your friends. Talk amongst yourselves. Forget the mainstream media. We are the most important, you know, arbiter of information out there.
Absolutely.
It's the independent media. It's you and I. It's people who listen to our shows. And it's people who get out there and talk amongst themselves. I have no interest in listening to someone who's not a physician proselytized about how I need to join healthcare.gov and I should like, and my favorite now is them, the Democrats are now admitting, if you want to keep your doctor, then those who want to do that need to pay a little more. Not a little more, try a couple of $1,000s more, a few $1,000s more, just for the privilege of someone still saying to you, your doctor can't take care of you because we decide who lives and who dies, who the winners and losers are. The only way, if you want to take your power back, you have to go to someone who's not in the system. Somebody who makes a deal with you, who you and that doctor decide, I want this test, this is how much I can get it for, this is how low I can get it, I can shop around and get the lowest price and see the, you know, instead of going up to a ER, I'm going to go to an urgent care who's staffed by board-certified ER doctors, not PAs and nurse practitioners, and medical assistants who are basically just there holding down the fort, who really don't know, you know, nuts and bolts of what they need to know. I'm sorry, they don't. They can't. And it's not their fault, but they're just put out there as grist for the mill just to hold the, you know, hold the line so people can say that they've actually gone to some sort of medical provider and the hospital can make some sort of money. It's ridiculous. It's not a healthcare system at this point unless you shop around and actually enter it.
Dr. George, on that note, let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with more Medicine on Call right after this.
Come on, follow Sniffles to Atlanta's go-to center for breathing easy. Do you suffer from chronic sinus headaches, recurrent sinusitis, facial pain or pressure, and chronic congestion? Well, balloon sinuplasty just could be the cure you're looking for.
Follow me and breathe easy.
FollowSniffles.com. We treat the problem, not the symptom. Chronic sinus symptoms, gone. This could be the cure you're looking for.
Follow me and breathe easy.
This proven in-office procedure can have you breathing easy, back to work the next day, and it's done under local anesthesia. Get lasting relief, a quick recovery, and start breathing easy again.
Follow me and breathe easy.
FollowSniffles.com.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. Before the break, we're talking, Dave asked a question about why don't more doctors like myself, why aren't we given a platform to tell people exactly what's going on? And you know, you don't need the media to help you. Why don't you have a conversation the next time you go to your physician's office? Ask them. Find out from them what's going on in their practice. Are they happy? Do they feel like they're going to be able to stay open? If they decide to stop taking Medicaid and Medicare, which a lot of us are doing, how do you navigate the system with them so you can keep them? These are conversations that you need to have locally, one-on-one, face-to-face with your physician. Once we start dialoguing, doctor and patient, I believe this is going to make a huge difference in healthcare delivery. And right now, we're at odds with each other for the most part. The patients are being inundated by insurance companies with premiums and deductibles, and all they know is they're spending money monthly. Then they have to come to an office or do a surgery or get a test done, and they got to come up with even more money out of their pocket. And it just seems like they're not getting much for bang for their buck. You know, I would agree with that. I think if you're going in there and you're spending, you have a $2,500 deductible, and your doctor's in there for 5 minutes with you, and they don't even answer your questions, and they don't even look at you because they're busy typing on a computer screen, I'd feel gypped too. But this is where the power again comes in. Vote with your feet. Stop seeing doctors who do that. And it my take on this years ago before Obamacare was if people would have demanded more, if they had said, I don't want you to call me in a prescription. I want to see the doctor. I don't want to see the PA today. I want someone to look at me face to face and explain to me why I need to be on 10 medications, what are the real side effects. All of these questions were just as much responsibility of the patient to ask and to demand as it was for the doctor to deliver. You know, you can't ask someone to take better care of you than you are willing to do or take care of yourself. That's across the board. If you don't demand quality, you won't get it. And it's going to be, as I said before, and Dr. Boyer confirmed, a two-tier system, one where there are quality. It's all about quality. It's all about patient-centered care. It's all about delivering customer service because you know you have to compete. And it's going to be that system versus what you get under Obamacare, government-controlled, corporate-driven, conveyor belt medicine where you're just a number, where it's all about taking money from you and giving you the least they can get away with giving you. And the system is rigid and not patient-friendly and not about cure. This, you know, they've they've sold this system based on prevention and wellness. We care about you. We want you to have all these freebies. A lot of them are superfluous, to tell you the truth. Really don't help you, but they build another cost into the system. While they tell you that you want, it's total marketing. They tell you what you want. They tell you what you need. They tell you 24/7 on a loop. When it doesn't pan out, when it actual reality check hits, then they tell you, well, it's not what you think it is. It's really better than you think it is. You just keep saying it, and eventually they'll believe it. If we say it long enough, it becomes truth. That seems to be their attitude towards this. And the only way that people are going to, I hope they don't have to learn by doing it, because I'm trying to get you to the point that you don't have to make the mistake, pay for it, and then realize that I shouldn't have done it. I mean, so this show is trying to help you navigate a system without getting burned. And there is a way to do it. Don't enter the system. Don't go through the scanner in the airport. Don't take the vaccine unless you look it up and you have all your questions answered. I mean, these are things that this is your life. Only you can really control what goes on, not somebody else who has no dog in the hunt. If you don't have one in the hunt, trust me, no one's going to take care of you. I mean, speaking of vaccines, I read an article yesterday that some study in Mayo Clinic said that it was okay that autism rates would actually drop if pregnant women got flu vaccine. It's not even a study. It's just some person pronouncing this, and because they say it, it's now going to be gospel. I mean, it's totally not true. There's no science behind that. And so ultimately, it's people saying things with no proof because they sound good or because they make it somehow sanction what's been going on, and nobody's calling them on it. This is the problem, and we need to stop doing that. Question everything. Question everything you hear on this show. Go and cite your source. Look it up. I cite my source when I write my blogs. I don't write anything that I can't back up, unless it's my opinion on something, and it's very clear when it's that. That's how I learned how to do things. I'm a scientist. But that doesn't mean you can't do the same thing.
Dr. George, across the board, if you go to your primary care physician or whatever they're called today, and you ask a question, be it, say with a vaccine, how many do you think actually know what's in that vaccine? Or they just say, well, it's the vaccine for this year's flu, and they've tested it, and it's okay for you.
They don't. That's a problem, too. That's what I mean. You need to shop around. Because the doctors, they're seeing 100 people a day. They want to get them in and get them out. It's all about just get through it. And they don't read the insert of these packages. They go with what's being said by the media, by the drug rep, and I've never taken a drug rep's word for gospel. It's a long conversation. They don't even come to the office really anymore. I mean, the whole system has kind of changed. But back in the day when they were in there a lot with their new medications, they needed to prove to me the safety, the efficacy, how, you know, if it really works, if it's just window dressing. And I questioned everything about it. And if they didn't answer to my satisfaction, I went on my own and looked it up, and I certainly didn't prescribe it. Now, if you look at the drug inserts of these vaccines, and this is an example specifically for pregnant women, they are category B or category C. What that means is the FDA has looked at these drugs and looked at the science behind them. And if it says category A, that means it's been tested in humans, found to be safe, you're good to go. If it's category B or C, category B for pregnant women means that it's been tested in animals and it's been found to be okay, but it has not been tested in humans. And in category C, it hasn't been tested found to be safe in animals, but it hasn't been tested in humans, so we don't know, but do it at your risk. So basically what they're telling women, pregnant women, that it's okay for every pregnant woman to be mandated to have these vaccines when they know that they're not safe or they don't know if they're safe or not. So how can you say that it limits autism rate when you don't even know if it's safe for pregnant women to take it in the first place? But it's crazy. And in the past, pregnant women were not allowed to take vaccines. This is a new phenomenon. So this is all about marketing and making money, and it's no longer doctors on the front line driving health decisions and mandates. It's the drug companies. When they talk about evidence-based medicine, I want everybody listening to understand this. Evidence-based medicine means, if you really want to distill it down, it's the drug companies who run these trials for these drugs. It's not an independent entity. They run their own trials. They jerry-rig their numbers. They remove bad results. They cook the books, and they write these articles, and it goes straight to the FDA, where it's a revolving door between FDA officials and pharmaceutical workers. I mean, they may leave as heads of pharmaceutical companies, and they end up in the FDA. They know each other. They love each other. All right, this is a revolving door system. It's quid pro quo system. Otherwise, if you thought about this, okay, let's say, Dr. George, you're not telling the truth. Well, then if I'm not, let's ask ourselves, why do we always have a drug come out, but and then eventually something happens where people get hurt, then there's a class action suit. It's like a revolving door of the trial lawyers / pharmaceutical company, FDA. It's FDA approved, but it's killed X number of people. And I'll give you another example of this. Recently, it was found that I think 800 million people who take these statin drugs are found to die of heart disease. This is proven. These are studies all over the world who've gathered information, and they're not safe. But people are being led to take them because of algorithms that have been driven by the pharmaceutical company. I've written about this ages ago, but they decide what the parameters of normal are now. So when I was a medical student, for example, blood pressure of 120 over 80 was considered to be normal blood pressure. Over the course of time, after they came with all these risks for cardiovascular disease and heart attack and cholesterol, notice that the normal blood pressure now is 110 over 70. And the cholesterol, which in the past was normal up to 250, is now only, you have to get it below basically below 150. That's what they're saying, that you need to have it at in order to be normal. So everybody who was considered to be a normal exam 10 or 15 years ago now is either pre-hypertensive, hypertensive, needs to have preventative treatment. This is where we're moving. Everybody is now either pre-something that's chronic, has it, and they all have the same bottom line. They all need to be on a medication once a day for the rest of their lives. Who stands to gain? That's all I'm asking people to take a look at. And if it was so fabulous, why are people still dying? Why is the rate of coronary artery disease, dementia, cholesterol, you know, stroke going through the roof? Obviously, it's not working, right?
That's incredible, and people have to start understanding, you know, they have to understand their own situations. Yeah, they have to learn for themselves. They have to listen to doctors like yourself that tell the truth, and then start doing what they need to do for themselves. And, you know, you've pointed out many times, you don't have to go on a pharmaceutical drug.
No.
There are natural ways to lower your blood pressure. There are natural ways to lower your cholesterol. How about not eating the junk food that you eat?
That's one way.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. That's one way to do it. I mean, if you were to take something one of the, like Metamucil or I forget the other version of this, but they actually, when you take one of those fiber-rich, over-the-counter, cheap, remedies to help you with your digestion and your bowel movements, what it actually does is it grabs cholesterol. It literally absorbs it in the gut. And there is no side effect to that. Imagine that. So it's a fraction of the cost. It doesn't affect your liver. You don't have to do blood work to make sure your liver is not being socked. And there's no side effect. And it works. Come off of sugar, because sugar, there's nothing good about it. It causes cancer at the worst case scenario, and it causes you to be fat, least case scenario. So the fact that high fructose corn syrup has been led down the path of, oh, it's just another version of sugar with their lobby. It's ridiculous. I mean, they use, they use something toxic to actually to make it. I can't remember if it was mercury or, I have to look that up again, but there was a toxic element that's used to make, to actually process the high fructose corn syrup, which makes it really toxic. And if you would just stick to honey or, and very little of that, by the way, or cane, you know, sugar cane or cane sugar, you'd be better off than you are eating all this processed stuff. And I'll give myself as an example. I was being very good before I got, before the Christmas break came. I stayed off of sugar. I was working out. Usually I have a little bit of knee pain, a little bit of back pain. It went away completely. I wasn't congested. I had energy to burn when I actually stopped eating and drinking sugar and soda. And I kind of fell off the wagon, and I feel like my arthritis is coming back, and my knees hurt, my back hurts. I feel the difference. And this is, if people would clean their diet, you know, that would do wonders towards helping you feel better. No, it's not by accident that people feel sluggish and they gained weight, they feel a little depressed, they feel like they're aging quickly. It's because of what we eat. And if we did that first before we looked to the pill as the easy fix, or have a doctor push a pill on us instead of saying, and really being on you, lose weight, get on the gym, exercise, walk. You only have to work out short bursts, high intensity, 25 minutes a day, and some studies have said a little of 7 minutes a day to get benefits of losing weight, lowering your cholesterol, lowering your stress level. All those things are easily done, but you can't do that sitting on your couch, you know, drinking soda and eating, you know, junk food and complaining about how bad the world is. It doesn't work that way, unfortunately.
You know, and not that I'm one to promote, but for myself, I find that the more fruit I eat, the happier I am. I eat basically a grapefruit in the morning, a whole one, and that does the same thing as your citrus products or your other products do. And yet it's all natural. It's good. I like you, limit my sugar completely, and I probably, if I have a soft drink once a month, that would be more than I generally have. So, you know, and it's everything in what you want to do. And the older you get, the more you realize that how vulnerable you are to problems. And if you can stop or keep from having the problems, then you become a happy camper.
You do. And, God made an amazing system that can take a lot of abuse. But it does have a breaking point. And I think when you start thinking about how many chemicals that we get exposed to daily, from the soaps you use, from the deodorant that you may use, that the toothpaste, the water you drink, then you start adding in what medications you take, and a lot of these have fluoride as a base for them. So you can get a whole load of fluoride in your system, and fluoride is toxic to the endocrine system, to the thyroid, to the adrenal. And that's how your metabolism, you know, is. It's one of the most important arbiters of your metabolism, whether or not you feel energized, what your sex drive is, your performance, all of that stuff is driven by the thyroid and the endocrine system. And ultimately, every time you take a dose of fluoride, you literally poison it because it gets incorporated into the thyroid gland instead of iodine, which is the natural cofactor that should be in there. So if fluoride enters as opposed to iodine, the function of the thyroid gets cut, and you start a cascade of a problem. So, you know, I stopped using any toothpaste with fluoride in it. I've got a water system that takes fluoride out, has reverse osmosis, puts minerals in. I use a shower head on my showers that take heavy metals like chlorine out. I need to start really cleaning my, you know, taking soda completely out of my diet, because you can't control fluoride in that, and you can't control the high fructose corn syrup. But you could invest in one of those machines like SodaStream where you make your own soda, and they don't use high fructose corn syrup. So you can do little things. If you really have to have your carbonated stuff, you know, you can use the water from your filtered, from your fluoride-free filter system. Use something like SodaStream and actually kind of have your cake and eat it too, a little bit. So there's ways to work around it. There's no way you're not going to spend a little bit of money, but, you know, if you're not worthy of it, then I can't help you. I mean, you, if you don't believe that in yourself, that I'm not worthy of spending the extra money, of doing everything I can to protect myself, then, you know, I'm not speaking to you if you don't believe that. I'm speaking to those of you out there who believe that you're better than what the government and what these companies want to give you.
Dr.
And that
George,
means organic. Sorry.
Could I ask you about vitamin D?
Sure.
I'm a big proponent of it because of you, as a matter of fact, and I take I've found that 3,000 units taken in the morning seem to be what I need. I'm happy with that. If I get a cold or feel like I'm getting a cold or sinuses are bothering me, then I'll up it a little bit. Besides your sinuses and your head cold type things, what else is vitamin D? Do you look at it to be good for?
It's anti-cancer. Studies have actually already shown that if you have a normal level of a little bit of high normal level of vitamin D in your bloodstream in your body, that it lowers the risk of colon cancer, breast cancer, prostate cancer. So, I mean, it's a win-win all the way around. It's antiviral. It's one of the main vitamins that are needed for bone health, for everything. Every cell in the body actually benefits from it. And most people are deficient because they don't get a lot of sun. Or if they do, they use sunscreen. Or they're taking medications that affect the vitamin D absorption. You name it. People who've had gastric bypasses, for example, don't absorb food or nutrients the way that they used to. And they become vitamin deficient, multiple vitamin deficiencies. So it, you know, all this to say that if you're not getting it from your diet, you have to supplement. I know there was an article recently saying that vitamins didn't do anything. I mean, all this misinformation out there, it's astounding. First it tells you you can take a vaccine to prevent autism. Then it tells you that vitamins do nothing and you don't need to take them and you're actually hurting yourself if you take them. What they really should be talking about is hurting yourself eating GMO food, genetically modified food, drinking fluoride, not exercising, eating sugar. I mean, if they really want to help you, they need to tell you things that are truthful, not toe the party line so that you have to depend on a pharmaceutical to help you. You know, think about who the sponsors are. Look at the banners on the webpage. I think one of those things had a pharmaceutical, the one that, this is classic, the article that said that you weren't supposed to eat or take vitamins because they were awful, had a pharmaceutical company as a banner, as one of the advertisers, as the thing running the website. I mean, come on. I mean, really. Pay attention. It's right in your face if you really pay attention to what's going on. It's all about marketing. It's all about PR. It's all about driving your demand by making it either the only game in town, falsely shown to be better than it actually is. I mean, these pharmaceutical companies are brilliant. They gin up demand for something that barely works. I mean, I went to a talk once by one of the pharmaceutical company presidents, and he said, our drugs work 50% of the time and 50% of the people, and that's good. Yeah, that's a good drug. Most of them don't do that. It's a controlled poison. I'm not going to say that nobody needs to take a medication. I don't believe that. Some of them are definitely, they work. But I just don't think everybody needs to be on it, everything all the time. That's the difference.
We've got to get the word out to everybody. And, you know, people need to listen to this show. They need to listen to you. We're gonna get more people and get people taking charge of their own lives. That's the only way it's gonna work. And parents need to really take charge of their kids' lives by feeding them right and doing right by them.
It starts there. I mean, if you actually teach your child good habits, good, you know, eating hygiene, if you want to put it that way, it stays with them. You know, they don't get a sweet tooth if sugar's not shoved down their throats every day. You know, it does matter if you breastfeed or not, because that's where the immune system is really set early on. And your enzymes for your digestion are set early on by breastfeeding. So I have told patients who have GI reflux and bad digestion, constipation issues, that, you know, if you weren't breastfed for about 3 years and your mom didn't have all the enzymes to digest food, you didn't get them. So this is all, it's about going back to basics. I don't believe that you can take something processed and say that it's just as good or better than something that's natural. It just isn't. And small choices change the paradigm. If people would stop going to big box stores like, you know, Walmart and Target to get their fruit and vegetables and their food, and they started going local, to local farmer markets, first of all, they'd save a ton of money, number one. Number two, it would drive the demand away from crap from China, processed food, genetically modified foods. They're not making them because they're following. It's all about money. The only reason these things exist is because they're cheaper to manufacture. They are. It's all about their bottom line. If we stop buying the stuff that hurts us, they will come around and they'll stop putting it in the food. You get what you demand. And right now, it costs a little more to buy organic. But if everybody did that, I think they said if only 7% of people changed their buying habits, which is not a lot, then the food industry would change their habits to get the market share back. That's how you do it. Stop going. It goes all through the society. Stop going to crappy doctors. Stop settling for being treated like you don't exist or you don't matter. Stop voting for people just because they've been in office for 50 years who could care less about you or on their own trail somewhere. You know, stop just being sheep. You know, it doesn't take courage to do it. It just takes love of self to do it. Because if you did love yourself, really, if you really did, you wouldn't allow half the things to happen to you that we as this country and the world, unfortunately, allow to happen to us because we depend on someone to take care of us or someone to care. They don't. It's obvious that they don't.
Dr. George, I hate to say this, but we have come to the end. And please take care of yourself today. Try to stay in if you can. And we will talk on a sunny Wednesday next week, I hope.
Oh, I'm praying.
Thank you, Dr. George, and we'll talk to you later.
All right. Have a great day.
Thank you.